Christopher Media. Eminem, question everything.
That's my mama.
That's my mama. That's my purse.
I don't know you.
You don't know. You're the first one that's ever got that. I say it all the time. Brianna's like, what?
King of the Hill references.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
You won't find those on any other podcast.
Eminem, question everything. On iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. If you like this show, please tell a friend. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free by clicking through the iTunes banner on ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook by searching for Christopher Media. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening.
Hey, Reddit humor favors a lot of our tweets.
All right, so we got beers, we got coffee,
got X-Men t-shirt, got Mikey B.
Christopher Media, let's make some noise. From AsthmaCore Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
Let's jump right in.
All right.
Let's do so.
Episode 11. Getting near that dozen.
Yep.
The dozens. I'm Chris.
This is Aaron.
I'm Rich.
This is Unregimented, like the guy that I paid to say it said.
Welcome.
Yeah. We're good. A little note right at the beginning. We said last week we're going to do Monday and Wednesdays. We're going to do Monday and Thursday, because the internet told me so.
Yeah. Well, we're a day late.
Yeah. But it's just...
Actually, we'll be on schedule when people hear this one.
Yes.
Day late, but not a dollar short, I don't think.
No, way more than a few... Wait, I got the receipts. A few dollars.
Actually, this is more unregimented than ever.
Yeah.
So quit complaining, damn it.
It's in the name! Stop yelling at me!
Stop trying to put us in a box.
Yeah, you can't regiment unregimented. Yeah, find out what the problem
was. There are regimented regiments and there are unregimented regiments.
Yes.
We're an unregimented regiment.
So
what is going on? Oh. A great way to start the show.
Yes. We keep it classy here on Unregimented. Oh, yeah, PBS time. Let's do all that crap now.
Yeah.
It's not PBS to say thank you, because you know what? It's everybody. You like it. Everybody, it's every week. More and more people listen. So thank you for telling somebody. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for liking us on Facebook, although, you know, a little bit more people could like us on Facebook. As far as the Unregimented page, by the time you're hearing our voice, Christopher Media will be at 1,000 likes.
Hey, thank you, everybody.
And for people who, you know, have a bigger... Ooh, 1,000 likes? Well, guess fuck you. This was an idea in January. You know,
eat a dick. Eat a bag of baby dicks.
Yeah. This is an idea I had in January. Fuck off. All right? I think we're doing all right.
And actually, now that I think about it, that's when I received the first message from you, and I was like, Christopher Media, who is this? Yeah. And I didn't even check the website until like months later. I feel like such an ass for that, but
not an early adopter.
But
you're here now, and we forgive you.
Well, that's mighty Caucasian of you. I appreciate that.
You know, what's funny too is I've noticed I've been unconsciously, intentionally, I've been rounding up like my old radio buddies, like because Todd out of Chicago, he's a guy that I worked with. When I first, like, my first real gig in Kalamazoo, went to school with you. Well, that's all I really kept in contact with, really.
Well, Jen.
Yeah, too. The only program director I liked, I still keep in contact with him.
There's such a thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he's a good guy. But no, he's not in, I heard he dabbled in internet radio, but I heard he, like, left the business. Shocker!
Yeah.
And went back to school, got his degree, and now he's like a psychologist or some shit, like a social worker.
I imagine to deal with a bunch of DJs, you have to be somewhat of both, maybe a sociologist too at the same time.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of different personalities coming in.
Yeah, no, he's a cool dude. And yeah, that's about it. But he else can go fuck themselves, really.
Building bridges and making friends. This is what we're all about.
Oh, no. So they didn't keep in contact with me. Why should I keep in contact with them?
I actually came and saw your band, dude.
Come on, exactly. You know, one guy I worked with killed himself.
Really?
Yeah. That's crazy. And that was, what was fucked up about that is that was like the first person that I'd ever died that I didn't give a shit about. Like, it did not affect me because all this guy did when I worked with him was like try to backstab me and treat me like shit. And then I heard he, you know, he took some like part-time gig in like the suburbs of Chicago and moved there and like on an argument with his girlfriend and killed him. I was like, yeah, okay. They're like, aren't you sad? I'm like, no, guy was always a dick to me. You know, that was like the, that was, I'm sure everybody's has probably had something like that that they've experienced, they've gone through.
Yeah, when death is supposed to make angels of us all, and it really doesn't.
Yeah, like everyone, at least one. There's been one person we're like, yeah, okay. You know, it's not disrespect. I mean, it's just, guy was an asshole to me. But all of my interactions with this man, he was an asshole.
Oh, an asshole in life, an asshole in death. That's
yeah,
what I say.
So I'm not, what, I'm going to be sad now? Okay, cool, thanks. I mean, that's, I feel bad for his parents. I feel bad for, like, his girlfriend. I feel bad for, like, if he had any siblings. As far as for him, no, he's an asshole. There's one less asshole. And that's my warm and fuzzy view on the world. That's
great. Great start. I thought we were doing promos.
Oh, yeah. That's a great commercial, huh? That's, yeah, but from thank you to fuck this you. Guy. It's like, I always feel, I feel trite now going to go to talk about our Twitter fucking address. Our Twitter, yeah, fuck this guy, follow us on Twitter. But, yeah, fuck this guy, follow us on Twitter. At Unregimented Pod. You could subscribe to any Christopher Media show on iTunes by clicking through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net. You could support us if rather the goodness of your heart and wallet by just clicking on the PayPal button, donating us a couple bucks, a couple quarters, you cheap fucks. Come on. Everybody got a dollar. I got a dollar right now. I would give it to you if you asked. You could click through the Amazon banner. You can bookmark the page and you buy something. Amazon gives us a little something, and it is little. It is little. We got 60 cents for somebody buying something $15.
Hey, it all helps.
Yeah. So, but it does if enough of you do it. Yeah. It all adds up. Come on, all dozen of you. Get to getting. If you're looking to launch your own website, because by now you figured out anybody can do this shit. But if you need going to have a podcast, you can. You need a website. You can click through the HostGator banner, ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, like Unregimented, the Weedsman podcast, Eminem Question Everything, Toddzilla X. He's working on a new one. He took a couple weeks off.
For that kind of quality, I'll wait.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, by the time I hear this, it'll probably be old news. But just click through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net, and when you support, wait, hold up. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through the banner on ChristopherMedia.net, you're helping to keep us going. All right, bye. Enough of that. Oh, damn it. DraftKings is one-day fantasy sports. It's we were talking about it earlier.
Yes.
Dude, everybody does. It's football. It's already happening in the office. Everybody's signing up. Dude, it's fantasy golf.
I feel like I'm the last guy to the party, though.
There's people doing shit for the British Open and the fucking the Masters earlier this year. Fantasy bowling has to be close. That's my theory. When's there going to be fantasy? You have a fantasy football team, a fantasy football players?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Or fantasy football managers. Be like the fantasy league.
You could, yeah, because you have your top rank. Didn't you have some? Isn't there like a national championship for fantasy football? Yeah.
It depends. It's got to be something. Depends on what you enter. But you know what? DraftKings would have it.
Yeah.
If it existed. I'd stop giving them $2 a day for now. But I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to set up Rob with one from the Weedsman because he's a sports guy. Maybe we'll even set up Rich with one. I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I will fail miserably. I can tell you that right now.
Hey, maybe you'll have beginner's luck. And, you know, because there's been a few people have won, like, super big on their first time out. You know, they spend a couple bucks, win like $4,000. Like, yeah, they got some kind of crazy tournament I'm supposed to be talking about right now. They sent me an email, but DraftKings, it's on ChristopherMedia.net. Just click through. It's fun. Do it. Please. Thank you. All right. Lots of shit to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we were just checking out the Sarah Palin channel. Should we just jump right into that?
Yeah.
So we're just going to start off by raining hate and discontent down. Just, we're not even going to ease into it today.
Hey, you heard how the commercials went.
Well, wait.
I started saying
a punchline on this one, but yeah.
Well, no, hey.
What's
that?
The 12 people who listen, what is the website? So they could check it out, and so I can type it in.
Oh, it's SarahPalinChannel.com. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay.
want, or should we just check out for the sake of the show?
The website, type this in G-O-O-G.
Oh, look at it. I'm going to make this my homepage.
Let me Google that for you.
Let's hear this.
Hello, and welcome to a new project. This is a news channel that really is a lot more news.
So you guys were talking about how you thought she was attractive. I just don't see it. It's mostly in that voice.
She's work hot. She's not movie star hot. She's work hot.
Well, I am.
That's, I mean, if I worked with a woman like her, well,
I don't know. If I had to listen to that voice all day long, I'd probably go insane.
Yeah, that
maybe she's a candidate for the angry fuck.
Oh, the hate fuck from hell. Yeah, the caveman. Hulk smash. Yeah, totally.
Politically correct filter and things like Washington D.C.'s crony capitalism. We'll go around all that. We'll go directly to the root of the problems.
Don't tell me she's trying to present herself as some sort of balanced.
Mainstream media. And I know that
she's coming off as like a one woman Fox News.
I'm sure there's an enlightened listener out there who's thinking you guys are degrading women by just going right to her physical qualities because she's a woman. But I don't. I think
I want to fuck her.
Absolutely. I think it's fair game because I think that's why they propped her up. I think that I don't see any other qualities that she has as a politician. So that, you know, the Republicans threw her out there because she was a hot piece of ass. So I get to rate her on that. And
they had to counter a black guy. They needed something. Black guy or someone they want to fuck.
It was about minorities. And at the time, everybody was looking for, you know, the person. Not that a woman's a minority, but.
I can't listen to this anymore.
In terms of people running for president, certainly women have been in the minority in that case. So that's what they're looking for, is people who represent people who don't normally run for office, because they feel like people are really responding to being part of history, right? It wasn't so much that, like, when you polled people on why they're voting for Obama, a lot of it was because it was black. A lot of these people didn't know the issues at hand. And that's not what drove them to the polls. It was being part of history and voting on the side of change.
I want to vote for black
guy. And that's fair.
I may have been part of that.
I'm not discrediting that. That's the same to me as, like, I'm in a band to get chicks. That's not why I'm in a band, you know, but that's your thing. If you want to learn to play an instrument so that girls will blow you, that's your thing. I can't discredit you for that.
No, I mean, like, if my
motivation... there's deeper motivations in other people.
Am I wrong that my motivation was, well, white guys have tried it for, like, 250 plus years. Working out so well. Let's give black guy a shot. That really was like part of my main motivation. Like,
I think a valid motivation would be,
let's give brother a shot.
What about men have been running this country and I don't exactly like where it's going right now? Maybe a woman has a different perspective on it. That's a valid point too.
Yeah, but what happened in 84 with Mondale and Geraldine Ferrara? How come that wasn't viewed as a...
That was like a first step.
I know, but that would have been historic to take out the fucking talking head Ronald Reagan.
It was historic, but it was too weak of a combo, and it was too controversial of an issue at the time. You know, we didn't have Will and Grace on the television. We didn't have, not that gay issues have anything to do with this, but I'm just saying it's kind of all lumps together in this cultural change in this
country.
We
hadn't even had Murphy Brown in 84 is what you're getting
at. Yes. Powerful women were still a rarity. Even, there was Jesse Jackson and, I'm forgetting who else that ran. I mean, these guys really didn't have much of a chance.
I think old Jesse knew that. He was just trying to blaze a trail.
Exactly. So it's the same thing. Yeah. It's like somebody's got to get out there and at least try. Just the same way that, you know, when you've got third party candidates getting, you know, single digit percentages of votes, and people ask, well, why do you do it? You know, you're just stealing votes away from Liberals. Well, somebody's got to do it, and somebody's got to start, you know? We're going to be stuck in this two-party system unless somebody actually tries.
That's unfortunately. Well, you remember was it 2008? People were like, Nader, don't run, please.
Yeah.
They were just like begging him. People who were like, look, we would totally vote for you.
And my thing was like, hey, why don't you get some fucking better ideas like Nader has, and maybe I won't vote for him.
Exactly. Instead of saying, please, we don't want McCain to win, so please don't run.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're voting for Nader. You're fucking it up for everybody else.
How dare you actually express a choice.
Yeah.
Besides A and B at the voting poll. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You hate America, don't you?
No, because you'll fuck up their... What? Don't. That's not good. See, it's all rigged anyway.
It's that, you know, I don't think it's so much rigged as there's just a natural ebb and flow to each side. And I, as much as I'm not looking forward to it per se, I think that there's a very good chance that our next president's going to be Republican, in my opinion. Just because of the way that things tend to flip-flop back and forth, and they seem to do so even more they seem to more rapidly oscillate these days than in the past. And you know, we had 8 years of Bush, everyone was sick of it. Let's get Obama in there. By the time he's out or ready to be done, everyone's gonna be like, we're sick of this shit.
Ready Let's for get the 8 years of this? You ready for another? Ready for this? Oh.
What?
This retard.
What about
Republicans, man.
Yeah, but he's not running for office anywhere, is he?
No. Have you paid... Man. Give to...
What?
No, because it'll switch subjects. No, he's been very vocal in this whole immigration.
Oh, he's been... He's
I know, you said Republicans. Well.
Well, but there was another point that I wanted to make on Sarah Palin's site. We see 2 meters on here, which I'm assuming are going to stay on there by the looks of it. The second one, the one on the right, says days left in Obama administration. It's counting down 904 days, counting all the way down to the seconds. I mean, you feel like there's going to be fireworks going off at the end of this thing.
Hey, by the way, this is still appropriate for Sarah Palin, because I want to fuck him.
So on the left side is our national debt. And that number is just steadily going up.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm getting a live feed of this, but you know, it's steadily going up. And they would like you to think that there's a direct correlation between those two things.
Well, it's kind of like I'm going to leave the chocolate here and the peanut butter here, and what you do with those two things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
You choose to mix those together. You
it's
sick
like there
freak.
Was a That's there was weird. A. In Brighton, there was a head shop where you'd go in before the whole, we have to bust people who sell water tobacco pipes thing.
Oh, yeah, right.
Remember that.
For tobacco use only.
Yes.
Like Brighton, Michigan, not Brighton, UK.
Yes,
sorry.
Okay.
But anyways,
I see the statistics on the internet. People in England do listen. Just saying.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. But for our international listeners.
You'd go in and there would be a CO2 cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
And at the other end of
What would you do with that?
There would be a balloon. And then there'd be the L-shaped and there'd be the cracker down there. And it's like, if I knew what these three things, if I combined them in some RPG game, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm just thinking.
What would happen?
This is like a modern role-playing game for the for video game systems, tape it together.
No, that is...
That'd be a great one, how to get high. You're just struggling to find different ways to get high. You start off with like a paper bag and some paint.
You have to go find some charboy at the shitty fucking the ghetto fucking gas station. They're selling socks so you can huff them out of it. Why do I need charboy socks and shoelaces out of this place? And what's with all these plastic roses and these little stems?
Yeah. Well, oh yeah. Oh, there's one for you. You know, God bless Orbit magazine. You remember Orbit?
Yeah.
That was a local magazine that just had some brilliant writing in it and really funny. It was like a local entertainment rag, you know. Real quick. Yeah.
Because I know that on the morning show you interned for, you were the go-to Pulp Fiction stump the staff guy, right?
Oh, yeah. For one show, and I froze.
What character wore an Orbit t-shirt in Pulp Fiction?
Oh, I know
Orbit.
It. I know it. Yeah.
Fucking... the only thing I can think of is the drug deal is Eric Stoltz. That would make sense.
Don't come over here and tell me my coffee's good.
That was going to be my first guess, and I switched it.
God damn it.
And I switched it. I was going to say Jimmy.
I send Bonnie to the store. She buys shit.
Fucking damn it.
I buy the good shit.
I was going to say Jimmy.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who have seen Pulp Fiction.
I would hope so.
If you wonder what that big globe with the face on the t-shirt on him is, that's a logo from Orbit Magazine, which was a local Detroit magazine. Shit, it was like, it stopped in the mid to late 90s, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't think it made it into Millennium, did it?
No, it stopped like 98, yeah. 99, I think.
But that's where I first read about, like, I didn't know what the little glass pieces were.
The stems were?
You'd go to the party store in the ghetto, and they have these little glass tubes that had a tiny little, like, rose in it. And I'm like, what is that? You know, it's a gift, like you're going to give it to your lady or something.
Hey, baby, I was picking up some Colt 45, and I saw this, and I'm thinking of you, you know?
Yeah, and Orbit had a little quarter-page panel on it and how interesting it was that these things were actually being sold because they're used to smoke crack out of it. And I'm like, oh,
it ain't.
Wow, that makes sense.
When it comes to getting high there, Jimmy, don't even there are people who become just fucking MacGyver. Another great film from the 90s said,
did you notice a sign
I made
in the
bongs
front of my
with
house said dead nigger storage?
No.
Uh-oh. I'm gonna get
you know why you didn't see that sign?
Will that really get us kicked off iTunes?
Storing dead niggers ain't my fucking business.
Jimmy, we're not.
And he's wearing this shirt.
He's wearing the Orbit shirt.
Bonnie comes home.
Hey, we got the little ready on iTunes.
House, I'm gonna get divorced. All right, no marriage counseling, no trial separation. I'm gonna get fucking divorced.
You know,
real quick, I've let this go long enough before I've said something.
What's that?
A good friend of mine, you've met him, Rob St. Mary.
Yes.
He is actually writing a book about Orbit Magazine. He's actually cataloging.
Oh, really?
He was actually paid by a publisher. Good job, Rob. You're going to get a plug because I'm going to look it up though.
That's fantastic.
Too.
I wonder if the what's the word I'm looking for here? The cult following. There's obviously a cult following of this out there if they're making a book.
Oh yeah.
And I wonder if Pulp Fiction has actually played a role in keeping that alive.
As many people read as much into Quentin Tarantino films and whole how it's a universe within a universe. And
because people read, like, what's the Band-Aid on Marcellus Wallace's neck?
Yeah.
You know? And they hop out.
It was from getting fucked by the Gimp. I mean, that's the obvious answer.
No. It was a spot where the devil took his soul.
And that's when they were stealing back in the briefcase.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah. I mean, this is not confirmed by Quentin Tarantino. You know, I think he just wanted to be visually effective. That's all.
Yeah.
But this is reading into it a little bit much. But yeah.
All right, re-entry, the Orbit Magazine Anthology.
Awesome. They had some hilarious stories in that magazine.
Oh, your information source for the upcoming book on Orbit, Fun and White Noise. You know,
it was like a proto...
Re-entry, the Orbit Magazine... chronicles the true and shocking story of creation, impact, and legacy of Detroit's Orbit Magazine. Which
it's like a proto Onion. It's like
the
Onion.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
It was the Onion before the Onion.
Oh, the book will trace the history of Orbit, starting with the Detroit punk scene around Bookies Club 1870, the creation of White Noise Magazine, Fun Magazine, Orbit, the creation of
Real Fun.
Yep, the creation of Real Detroit Weekly, which was, I'm guessing, a spinoff of Orbit, the essential guides to Detroit,
but it's and shit.
Culminating in the Dirty Show.
Yeah, they took everybody who wasn't funny and put them on Detroit, Real Detroit Weekly.
But the website is orbitbookdetroit.com. Whoa, look at this.
There's a website you can go and check it out.
Look at Rob. Look at him.
Well, if you're interested in some Detroit history.
Orbitbookdetroit.com. It's going to be all about the book that's going to be chronicling the magazine you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Good friend of mine is right. And hey, you know
what? There's going to be an article about Big Chief in there.
He's also on a very popular movie podcast called The Projection Booth. So check that out, too. That's on iTunes. I believe it's theprojectionbooth.com.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Plugging my friend. Once again, friend, also old radio. Well, no, he's still current radio. He works at public radio now. He went into what we were told to not go into if money was... If you were interested in money, do not go into NPR. That was said to us on, like, our first day.
And then Kernan said, "What if you could work for any station here in Detroit, what do you want to work for?" NPR. He's like, "You just didn't listen to me, did you?" I'm like, "Well..."
But I do also believe they told us if you were interested in money, period.
Stay out of radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, go to the front desk right now. Say, "Hey, thanks, but no thanks. They'll give you your money back."
Yeah, I was listening to Classic Love Lines today, and he was talking about if you saw what your local morning DJs were getting paid, they would laugh. Like, when he tells people that he's in radio, he's like, "Yeah, what's your day job?"
Well, yeah, but he's from LA, though. He's from... That
that was a different. LA's number one, or no, number two market in the country. They're making, they're clearing at least six figures. At least six figures.
Yeah, nationally. Well,
money's
nationally.
In the, money. Oh,
he was talking about local morning dealers.
Yeah, say money was in the top 10 markets. Who knows now? It still probably is, but it's always New York's number one, LA's number two, Chicago's number three.
Man, I still got the Sarah Palin site up, and have you seen the quote of the day? Maybe it's this bad choice of words here. A woman is like a tea bag. You never know her strength until she is in hot water. And I've heard this one before. This is this is cited as Nancy Reagan. I don't know if she was the originator of that quote. I thought she just repeated it, but maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, it's just a curious choice of words too, when tea is such a, it's a term that's been used a lot in our political talk. So people derogatorily refer to the Tea Party as tea baggers.
Yeah, but they kind of ask for that. I mean, you walk yes. around with tea bags yeah, draped
you,
off
and
your...
You look like an idiot. People yeah. are going to make fun of you. Who knew? is she aligning herself with the waning tea baggers?
Shut up, bitch!
Jeez. It's a rock.
Shut up, bitch!
Oh, they cut it off, man.
Yeah, you know...
Try this one.
My original question on this, though, was...
May I have your attention, please?
Oh, fuck off.
The original question was this national debt number that's continually going up.
We have two theories. It's either going to automatically reset to zero when a Republican takes office.
Right.
Or it's going to reverse direction. It's going to start making... It'll become the surplus counter.
It's going to start spinning around and lighting up like a jackpot.
Republicans won! We're all going to be rich!
No, I mean, honestly, what I think is if this site's still around in 3 years when Obama's leaving office and another if there's a Republican Nancy going into office after him, this Mama thing will probably disappear before bitch. Then and just not reappear.
Before the inauguration.
Yeah.
While he's putting together a stat, or they are, she,
yes,
whomever.
Because that will cease to become an important number when there's a Republican in office. Well, it seems like a really effective number to use when there's a Democrat in office.
I told you, we're going to start making money. It's
what?
Everything's going to magically change. Well, just like when Obama got into office, we were going to magically just leave Iraq immediately. You know, everyone was going to immediately get a job. The recession was going to stop. You know, the same thing's going to happen now when a Republican.
I believe that as much as I believe the computers are going to die on Y2K.
I mean, I'm just saying that's just the picture painted every election cycle. Whenever the other guy gets in, all this shit's going to magically happen. Homeless people will automatically just wake up in houses. You know, they'll be handing out jobs on the street corner.
Well, I do have some family and friends who are pretty right-leaning who thought that Obama's death squads were going to come for their guns, white women, and Bibles. And it was just going to be like, you know, kick the door open and be like, just give them to us.
Have you ever seen, like, some of the really hardcore right-wing propaganda on Facebook? That shit is retarded.
Oh, yeah, I have
that
friends.
That shit is ridiculous.
I have friends that repost these things that are just like, I mean, they're conspiracy theory quality. They're, like, really out there.
I mean, I share, like, if you label them, I share more, like, right beliefs. But, dude, this shit's bananas, like fucking Gwen Stefani said.
It's beyond the birth certificate, even. Like, they don't even give a fuck about a birth certificate no more. That's their that ship's
done sailed. And my whole question on that is, so what? Is it going to be un-president? No, he's elected.
Think they're going to
take him out of office? No.
In the Constitution, according to the Constitution, it would.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be nullified completely. He would cease to be president if that were proven to be true.
You don't think the guy who can make the laws is going to get out ahead of that?
It's not that simple. He doesn't just, like, draft one up on his legal pad and sign it Mary O.
He's not
like,
Marcellus Wallace
done.
Calling the wolf and sending him over there. And like, they're like,
if you believe John Boehner, he does.
He's got gang squads that just go over and just like, okay, this was going like they're Suge Knight and these lawmakers are Vanilla Ice and he's being dangled out of the window. You're just going to sign this into law, white boy. Like, it's going to happen like that.
Well, actually, I don't think
if you ask the left about 10 years ago that apparently George W. Bush did that shit.
No, Bush won it on some gangster shit because he was like, Al Gore won Florida, and his brother was like, no, I didn't. Like, wait a minute, what do you mean? No, I didn't.
And it was like election, he just pummeled up them so real quietly and dropped them into the trash.
So what about the second time?
But I think he had a miscount.
He got reelected. If he was so shitty, he got reelected.
What? Since when is being shitty mean you can't be reelected as a president?
Because no, what I really think is happening here is we're going to continue to see 8-year terms. I think at this point, people, regardless of whether you're for the left or right, you don't think 4 years is enough to get anything done. And you understand that the person has to run for re-election. So people are just taking it in stride that, oh, he has to say this, he has to do that in order to get re-elected. We'll see all the change in the next term. And that's what people are hanging on for. So I don't think we're going to see, unless we see major fuck-ups, and I mean, I don't even know what would constitute a major fuck-up when you have what's going on in the news today. But unless you see something drastic happen, you're not going to see a one-term president in the future. You're going to continue to see this two-term presidency that just flip-flops back from the left and the right. Give them a chance to do what they need to do in the 8 years, and if they can't make a difference, which nobody really does, then we'll go back to the other side. And it's just going to keep flip-flopping like that, because you have your extremes, and then you just have this middle slice of people that just don't seem to either pay attention to the issues, like the attention, or just can't make up their mind.
Well, I also think it's that, but I also think it's, as much as people say they want change, they fear it. And they rather stick with the evil you know than the evil you don't. As far as we're going to give it another 4 years because we know what we have over here. We don't know what we're going to get if we elect this guy. And of course, the people who are opposed to the president sitting in office are going to just get him out. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, anytime you talk about change at a countrywide level, there's so many moving pieces to that. Somebody's going to lose their job. Somebody's going to get the short end of the stick. Anytime a system changes, somebody's going to be left out in the wind. And that's just the way it is. And it's an unfortunate byproduct of the system. But in order to make change in healthcare, we had to make changes that are pissing off a lot of people. I think overall, in the long term, it's still going to show to be a better choice. But in the short term, it's putting people through a lot of grief.
You want to go down that rabbit hole?
No. No, we can table that discussion.
I had to review my benefit plan the other day.
Do we need to start a podcast where we just literally turn this into fucking Thunderdome? Where it's only two people and the rest of us just wait outside to clean up the mess afterwards.
I don't know, but I'm wearing way less clothes next week. Just a leather belt around my chest. No, half a baseball bat.
I don't know. I'll pose this reform for who? That's all I'll ask about. Because my healthcare plan is markedly different than it was 10 years ago, and it's only started in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't have healthcare.
Yeah,
aren't you supposed to? It's free, right? Free. Where's your free? Then Barry O got your back.
I must not have received it with my Obama phone. My OJ prize, because, you know, OJ got off, so, you know, that was like, oh, the downtrodden and minorities are going to receive shit, and if there's anybody more downtrodden than my poor ass, then I didn't receive my OJ prize. Damn sure didn't receive my white boy Zimmerman prize. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it got lost in the mail is all I'm saying.
Speaking of Obamacare, that's the crux of the issue with Boehner. He's come up in the news with his lawsuit against the president, the lawsuit that he's claiming that Obama overstepped his boundaries. He did something illegal in bypassing Congress and passing certain portions of the Obamacare bill. I guess they're still going through with the lawsuit, which I don't understand what they expect the end results to be. And normally, if you thought that a president overstepped his boundaries, that's grounds for impeachment and then possible criminal charges. That's the usual process. So that was, I mean, logically, you would go to that. I mean, if you're going to sue the president, why not just impeach him? And so he's been asked. And he came out saying that there's nobody's talking about impeachment. Well, not out of his mouth, but I think we've heard it out of plenty of Republicans' mouths.
Oh, yeah.
Since the first year. And okay. Certainly since we started talking about Obamacare.
Well, it's also the implied
Bill Clinton
impeachment.
Bill Clinton proved you can't impeach a Democrat in this country. Just saying.
I think, well, he showed us that the process is a little more complicated.
At least
than
Nixon was like, hey, you got me, I'm out. You know, like, Clinton just kept the lie going. Clinton just kept fucking.
What? It goes back to that gangster shit. We caught you. No, you didn't.
He did.
No, he didn't.
No, he had to. He had
he
to
did
admit.
The Shaggy defense, wasn't me.
He had to admit that he did lie, and he did admit that. I think his real challenge on it was that it was none of your business, but you can't really come out and say that as a politician.
No, that's political suicide.
Not when you're the president.
Especially
what I do
in America.
Behind closed doors is nobody else's business. And well, I think no matter what your status is.
They save the dress.
I mean, it should be.
Bad aim brought us the Bill Clinton impeachment. I maintain that it's such. Bill, couldn't you just like have been in ROTC for a couple, you know, semesters and learn to shoot a little bit straighter, and we would not have had that entire mess.
Well, the thing with impeachment is it's a gamble. You're putting your chips on the table when you do so, and we saw the backlash of the actual both sides of the House and Senate flipped over to the Democratic side after that because they. They didn't win. I mean, they did not get the votes for impeachment that they had, and they drummed up so much support with it. It was like got a year of just like talking about this.
Well,
it seemed like at the time
you had people like Newt Gingrich trying to claim moral high ground, and he had three ex-wives, one whom he left while she was dying with cancer or something like that. Or was that Rush Limbaugh who just beats that fucking
both
moral high ground drum much as
anybody. Anybody who's that's the Bill Hicks theory, and I think it is a very sound theory. Anybody super far, that far to the right, that righteous, that moral, has got, like, the skins of young children drying in their attic.
They don't have skeletons in their closet.
Or
they have whole fucking graveyards in Arlington Cemetery.
Or they've been fucking every boy in town between the ages of 5 and 8 for the last 20 years.
How many of these pastors who come out and say that, you know, pray away the gay, turn out to their smoking meth and gagging on some dude's cock in the back of a Motel 6. It was a demon that made me do it.
Why? Yeah.
No, maybe you just like cock. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you deal with that reality?
American Beauty. Like how you know, that dude, how fucking against homosexuality was he? And he ended up being...
The Colonel?
Yeah.
I think that was...
Yeah, he ended up being, you know, he loved his... A shot in the mouth.
Oh, yeah. But
you know, that didn't seem to resonate.
Story,
that did not resonate with the people, though. That didn't... I understand where you're coming from, but that was not an issue for anybody. The fact that the people that are pointing the fingers at Bill Clinton were just as guilty as he was of the same type of behavior.
I don't think it wasn't
a point of discussion at all during the time.
It wasn't a counter to what they were bringing up, but people were looking at it going, you're a fucking hypocrite.
I don't know. There were people, yes, but overall, the majority of people, it wasn't an issue for them.
I know a lot of people who was like, why are we talking about a blowjob?
Yes. Yeah.
Seriously, why are we talking about a blowjob? That's between him and his wife.
But anyway, the reason I brought that up is to frame this in the current discussion of why aren't we talking... If Obama is that bad, if he's bad enough to sue, why isn't he bad enough to impeach? And the reason is that they don't believe they have the votes, and it would be political suicide for them to try and impeach somebody that they could not get out of office.
It's bullshit.
And so
posture.
This lawsuit, this lawsuit is just a way for them to have an issue that people can rally behind because they try and get them on these scandals, you know, like trying to get people riled up over Benghazi over and over and keep drilling this. And you ask the average person, they're like, I don't even know who Benghazi is.
Well, you know,
was he in the Bruno movie?
He was the guy who trained the Jedi, right?
Benghazi. But don't hang Johnny Asshole's general ignorance on... That's another issue. The fact that people have no idea what's going on.
No, but my point is that that's who Boehner's playing to. He's trying to play to them with Benghazi and realizing that they're not getting any traction because people can't keep all the moving pieces in their head, and it really doesn't make any sense or is a non-story at the end of the day anyway. So they're getting something simple that every American can understand. We're going to sue them. Yes, everybody has the right to sue anybody else they want. This is fucking America. That's something I can get behind. This is just a rallying of assholes.
The average American couldn't seem to wrap their head around. We were completely lied to go to war with Iraq, and they were just like, okay, well, whatever, let's go to war. And then when they got the war fatigue set in, okay, let's pull out. No one cares that we were lied to. Because
they agreed with the greater picture of bombing people of different color than us. That's what they were behind in general.
Pretty much.
In a region where they just understood that there was just, you know, terrorists living in this region, people who hated America in general, you know, that was what people were responding to.
Well, I totally misread the situation because people were like, do you believe that Iraq has weapons of mass destruction? I was like, fuck yeah. Like, oh, so you support the war? I was like, no, not really. You know, like,
dude, like, well, I don't think we were lied to. I think Saddam went, everything must go, and he sold them to everyone around him. He sold them to Syria. He sold them to Iran. He sold them to Jordan.
People ask me, how do you think Bush and them know about it? I said, because they kept the receipts.
No, we're not talking about...
It's like when somebody stole a car. Like, listen, I gotta get rid of this shit.
We knew that he possessed gases that he used against his own people. What they were claiming is that he had plutonium or something like that.
Yes, what was the term?
We sold to the Libyans.
Weapons of mass destruction.
No. It was yellow cake uranium. Yep. Remember?
Don't drop that yellow cake.
This is the thing. Yes, Remember yellow cake uranium?
Oh, yeah.
That was the big thing of, like, if he can weaponize this into a nuclear weapon. And that's what they were saying that he had possible access to. And the story turned out to be total bullshit information that we were getting from an Iraqi who was just in it for whatever, money, publicity, just to have attention. And we never found any evidence of that being true. That's where the issue gets confused. That's the weapon of mass destruction that they were talking about. Not the chemical weapons that he used on his own people. We knew he had that. They were pushing yellow cake uranium, and we never found any evidence of that.
Well, that's...
I think he stashed it, man. I think it was like the cops are coming here. Take this.
This is,
you know, he's going to Leavenworth.
Hold on.
Butthole highwayed it and
Saddam was not a radical not a religious radical. He was a political radical, certainly, and he wanted Kuwait for its oil to expand his riches. He had no what use did he have for a nuclear weapon? He didn't have any use for a nuclear power plant, certainly, because he had oil coming up out of the ground everywhere in his fucking country.
Oil literally coming up under his ass.
Yes.
Literally.
What would he do with a nuclear weapon?
He didn't have the means to deliver it, either.
How many nukes are surrounding his ass?
Like, to protect him.
Iran's got him.
To protect
Syria's
himself
him.
From... They are developing them, and they
I'm
did not...
Everyone
they
in
didn't
the hood's
they,
packing,
at the time, they didn't
know?
Even have programs, but...
That's all I'm saying.
No, the only...
If everyone on your block's
wrong.
Packing, you're packing through,
no,
usually.
The other people on the block packing at the time would have been Israel and India and Pakistan. Those are your nuclear weaponized countries in the region. The Middle East would not have... No one else in the Middle East had any type of nuclear weapon or was even developing any type of nuclear weapon, and he wasn't as well.
Israel's a pretty key country to have nuclear.
No. This is a fucking gun runner that they broke down his door and said, we heard you got bazookas in here. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just have handguns. Yes, he was wrong. Yes, he was a bad guy. Yes, he probably should have been, you know, killed and or at least removed from power, but whether that's our place to say so or not.
Well, it was our place to give him the key to the city of Detroit. He was, yeah. No, seriously, I'm not, yeah, even bullshit. He was, yeah, before Jerome Bettis, before the Super Bowl in 2006, he was the last person to receive a key from the city of Detroit.
Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Let me Google
I got Google in front of me.
No, I actually, and, oh God, this is embarrassing to admit. I was at a bar and it was a trivia.
No shit. Saddam Hussein, yep. Key to Detroit. It's like.
That was the final question. And some of my friends at the table were very right wing and they said, before Jerome Bettis, who was the last one to receive the key to Detroit, I said, Saddam Hussein. And they were like, you're out of your fucking mind. And I said,
he was
the last one? Before Jerome Bettis.
Oh, so, the last one before. Oh, okay.
1980. No fucking shit.
And I mean, there's pictures of Rummy shaking hands with him. You know,
Saddam.
We were. If we forget. Look at Rambo 3. The movie Rambo 3. That is Rambo fighting with the Taliban against the Russians. We are constantly flipping sides. It's constantly. It is Orwellian because it's like we're at war with them now. We've always been at war with them. Shut up. Don't question it.
Yeah.
And it's just not the truth. I mean, we are. So to me, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm an isolationist and it makes me a Luddite. We should really keep our fucking noses out of a lot of other countries' business because we don't like it when anyone even has a. We don't like you loud, arrogant Americans. And we're like, fuck you, French people. It ain't French fries. It's freedom fries. Fuck you. You know, and they're over there like, we don't give a shit. You're just proving our point. Right. You know, yeah. It's a lot of political posturing and it's a lot of nonsense, mm-hmm. but it all comes back to at what point, because I guess I'll take the role of the average person on the street. At what point does me caring and feeling strongly about something, what can I do to change that? What can I do to...
Yeah.
The most I can do, I feel, is spread information and let people try to take it as they will.
Information is power. Absolutely.
You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to go protest? No, I have to go to work. Yeah. I mean, that's... I know that I'm not going to go sit in a tent
outside.
Unless
you're an Occupy asshole.
I wish I could do that. I'm sure they had good weed. You know what I'm saying?
Good weed and iPads.
Yeah, that's the other thing. But I
don't know that
daddy's trust fund.
I'm taking the role of, okay, you were obviously very knowledgeable about this subject. You are way more knowledgeable, more so than I am. I'm taking the layman's role of asking, what would you do? What would you say to the average person like me to do about like all this stuff? Like wow, we know that
that's quite a question.
Well, I mean,
you're talking about just world issues in general or the Middle East specifically?
No,
or
we're talking about like
just getting involved in other countries.
We talked about it. We know as the American people we're lied to on a constant basis. Okay. And we're paying.
Yeah, I think there's a certain amount of lies that we're used to accepting. Yeah.
And it's a bunch of bullshit political posturing. Mm-hmm. What can be done about it? Is it third party candidates? Is it? I mean, I know it's not a simple one. I mean, it's an essay question essentially. Like, yeah. There's multiple points, but I mean, where would the average person start?
I'm hoping that's actually one of the things that I would hope we could accomplish with this podcast, because I don't know. I really don't. I used to be in support of third party candidates and, you know, flip flop back and forth over like just feeling like if you feel like your vote doesn't matter, vote for a third party candidate and then see how you feel. You know, then you really feel like your vote doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
You're just spitting into a canyon. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is.
And see, I respect that because we had this conversation a couple podcasts ago. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get angry or they look at you and they go, what do you mean you don't know? I don't know. It's okay not to know. It's okay to evolve. I have an opinion at 20 and at 35. If it's the exact same opinion in the face of changing facts, I'm a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Let's be honest here.
Right.
It's not flip-flopping if I reverse myself. It's called an opinion evolves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I asked. I'm just wondering because I feel voting on a local level does way more than it does on a national level.
Yes, that's where your change is going to happen, absolutely. And that's probably where you're more likely to get traction with third-party candidates, but
exactly.
You see much less of those happening on local elections. So maybe that's the answer. I mean, part of the reason why we wanted to have these types of discussions is because I think Chris and I seem to lean different ways politically, but I don't think either one of us feels represented by anybody in office. And
overall,
when you look at what political parties stand for in this nation, there's like you can cherry pick and say I agree with this and this and that, but I can do this all from the other side too. But overall, there's no one party where I would just throw everything in and say I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I can't even say that I'm a Libertarian. I feel not represented.
See,
in
I think
general.
If you wrote down my beliefs on paper, it would probably come out Libertarian.
Yeah, I can see that.
My bright sunshiny view on it is until money isn't involved, you fucking nothing. You can't do anything. As long as...
What do you mean?
As far as
you
saying to have any effect on anything, nothing. You can't...
The only way you can affect change is by pouring money into the... no, well, people who represent your
right
ideas.
Now, yeah, and until money is taken out of the political process at any level, nothing's going to happen. Because let's, as a general populace, we are too fucking lazy and been,
but this is gonna
and have been lulled into complacency too much for any sort of, excuse me, violent kind of revolution. No, we'll to happen. Because that's the other answer.
That's what I'm getting at. Is because I have friends who are, I mean. I definitely am not going to name names, but you go over to their house and it is an ungodly amount of hardware they're stockpiling. And I'm like, the fuck do you think you're going to do with that? Hey, I got an AR-15 and I got the conversion kits fully automatic. And what the fuck are you going to do against a tank with that?
But I'm not talking nothing like that. I'm talking like civil disobedience, like boycott, like what Todd Zilla was talking about. You don't like something, stop pouring your fucking money. Like, hit these retards where they live. When Occupy was going on, I was reading it and it was like, you know what? If that would have happened 10 years, I would have bought into it. I would have bought into that hook, line, and sinker. But you know what? Shut. Are you riding a bike? No. Then shut the fuck up. Do you still have a cell phone? Yes. Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Do you live indoors? Do you have hot water? Then shut the fuck. I mean,
I have some friends that go off the grid pretty hard, and they just hear from them until they come into town, and I'm like, "How you doing?"
And even if you don't have a car, you're still paying in the big bicycle.
So
big coffee.
So essentially, what it comes down to is there's really. I knew it wasn't a question. It had an easy wrap-up answer.
It's capital, like, and a lot of people always tell me, Todd especially will tell me, it's a cop-out answer. And it's not a cop-out answer. It's capitalism. This is what happens. Well, you learn in, like,
politics is big business.
You learn in high school economics, the end result of capitalism is going to be eventually a few people are going to have all the money. We're getting there, unfortunately.
Yeah, but it's big business. I fear it's become more of entertainment.
Yes.
People watch CNN entertainment, and Fox.
But entertainment's another form of big business.
Right, MSNBC. You see, like, well, it's this is interesting. ESPN.
To loop back to the Palin website, you know, she's got some political talk on there, but it's also a good portion of, like, just reality TV, basically, following her family around behind the scenes at events and shit like this. And the fact is that the politicians are playing off of that. They're realizing their celebrity status. They're realizing the way that people follow these personalities, and that's a form of misdirection. That's a way to say, look at this issue, not this issue. Look at the one that I want you to look at. Look at gay marriage. Don't look at tax reform or maybe flat financing for races, which is for political races, which is something that I'm in favor of, putting a cap on what and having government funded races so that you can have a flat playing field for both sides to argue on.
And then, of course, you're going to get people who are going to go, the minute the government sticks its hands in anything, it becomes corrupt. And it's like, it's already corrupt. So at what point are the lesser of two evils? I mean, what would you rather do? Would you rather have a corporation telling you, we know how we're going to regulate ourselves, we're not going to kill you as a customer? Really? I'm sorry. There's a whole industry, tobacco industry, alcohol industry, that knows they're killing their customers, and they don't give a fuck.
And we regulate it and tax it.
You know? I mean,
do you see why I'm just like, just take my taxes and leave me alone? Like, that's just how I feel.
I just
keep the roads paved, keep the street lights on, pay the cops and firefighters, and leave me the fuck alone.
But they're just barely doing that.
Yeah, no shit. Seriously, like, that's not even a joke.
Yeah.
But
yeah, police departments and fire departments all over the nation are underfunded.
Stop asking me to vote. Just put in who you want to put in. You're going to anyway. Stop giving us the illusion.
That is so cynical.
Wow.
Stop giving us the illusion that we're actually
giving up on democracy. I mean, I'm not taking it that far.
Stop. They did it. We're giving the illusion. Like, they're already picked. In my opinion.
George Carlin did say that. He goes, you're given the illusion of choice in this country.
Yes, mm-hmm. You are.
You know, Coke or Pepsi, this or that. And really, it's all the same. And you did hit upon
Taco Bell or KFC. Guess what? Same corporation owns both companies.
Yep. But you hit upon something earlier about how it's, okay, don't look at this. Over here, this political issue.
The misdirection.
Gay
yeah.
marriage. Which yeah. goes back to, like, stuff like that goes back to my favorite, and I think one of the most profound Chappelle Show skits that should be played in fucking political class, the Black Bush skit. Because it is.
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember? It's as it was filmed as if Bush was a black man.
There you go.
Like, And seriously, at one point, they're like, so how many people do you, how many countries do we actually have in supporting us going into Iraq? He's like, well,
here you go.
President Bush continues to make this.
Afkambambada and the Zulu Nation, they're supporting us.
This is laws of
government. Me and my cabinet agree that that area is.
At one point, he'd ask him a question, and he's like, I can't believe this bitch is asking this question. Gays are getting married, people. They're settling down. That shit's gross. It's gross. Two men barbecuing. Hey, I like you. I like you, dog. You know what I'm saying? Let's get married. Two women sucking on each other's titty balls, blowing on them. Just getting so stiff. Ugh, that's just disgusting. We going to Mars. And he just threw everything Bush threw at the wall in 2004. We're going to Mars. We're going back to the moon.
Yeah.
Can't have gays settling
Mars,
down.
Bitches.
Yep. Red rocks. Yay, yay. Yeah. It's a fucking great skit. I can't believe you've never seen it. Seriously, it's all over YouTube. Because, you know, everyone you listening who's not seen it, watch it. If you've seen it, watch it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you now Black Bush.
President Bush continues to make his case for an invasion of Iraq.
After carefully examining the region, me and my cabinet agree that that area is definitely ripe for regime change.
All right.
But if I can be real about it.
Be real, son.
Real.
Be real.
Try to kill my father, man.
What?
And play that.
Say word, he tried to kill your father, son.
That nigga tried to kill my father!
We love we coming to see y'all.
Wrap it up. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. We're almost to Baker's Dozen, number 11. ChristopherMedia.net, thank you for liking Christopher Media on Facebook, following us on Twitter at UnregimentedPod. We are also on Facebook now. Please, also, it's, you know, with Facebook, when you share our links, it puts more eyeballs on us. So, you know, it expands the audience in a way. So, you know, it's just like telling a friend, you know, which we also need you to do. Please and thank you. You can subscribe to any Christopher Media show by clicking through the iTunes banner at ChristopherMedia.net. If you also happen to buy something while you're at iTunes, we get a piece of the action. Support Christopher Media by donating using the PayPal button. Click through the Amazon banner, bookmark the page, buy something on Amazon. That will give us a little money to help keep Christopher Media going. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. So we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows, Unregimented, The Weedsman Podcast, Eminem Question Everything, Toddzilla X, and DraftKings, One Day Fantasy Sports. All you do is every day you pick a team, and it's you're not stuck like fantasy baseball. If you like fantasy sports, first of all, that's the season for you because it's grueling. It's like March to September, but you draft a team in March, stuck with it until September, unless you know how to work the waiver wire. DraftKings, you start over every day, and the football season's coming up. So, yeah, lots of money can be had. So click through the banner, ChristopherMedia.net, and help support us. You can catch us every week, just Monday and Thursday, on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you in a few days.
Definitely.
Yes.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.